Sunday, March 2nd at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl will present on-air host and producer Rhonda Hamilton Carvin. Join us as we look at the perspectives of four different women during Women's History Month. That's Sunday, March 2nd at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. FM. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones, and we're actually still in fundraising mode, so we need you to call 212-209-2950. But what we need you to do is just continue to do that, or go to give, the number 2, WBAI.org. Listen to the program and enjoy, learn something about Rhonda Hamilton, who is down the dial at WBGO. Visited her and looked at the exhibit of art there and chatted with Rhonda Hamilton Carvin. We had her partner on, her husband, Michael Carvin, last year, I think it was. Anyway, stay tuned. We're going to hear some more from Nina to set us up for this month being Women's History Month. And then we're going to start the show. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. Yeah.
face tan. My hair is fine. My hips invite you. My mouth like wine. Whose little girl am I? Anyone who has money to buy. What do they call me? My name is Sweet Thing.
My name's Joyce Jones, and I am here with
Rhonda Hamilton
of WBGO, on-air host, producer, programmer. Is there anything else I'm missing?
No, I mean, that's how you could define this position here at WBGO. That's what we usually say, on-air host or announcer, producer, because we do program our own shows.
Right. Actually, that's something I actually can't wait to get into in a moment. You're a New Yorker.
Yeah, I'm a New Yorker. Yeah, I was born in New York. I was born uptown in a Presbyterian hospital, and we lived in Harlem until I was about 2, and then we moved to Mount Vernon, and I lived there until I was about 15. My mom died when I was 12, and my dad remarried, and then we moved to Queens. So
let me just mention that your parents' names are Harold and Lois Hamilton.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did your parents do?
My dad was a lawyer, and my mom, she worked with the New York Housing Authority, and I can't tell you exactly what her position was, but I know she had her own office, and there were people that worked with her and for her, but she was sick. Like I said, she died when I was young, when I was 12 years old.
She had cancer?
She had cancer, and she had it for maybe 6 years since I was a little girl. So I remember, you know, her going in and out of the hospital. And, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really know what your parents do. But I remember, I'm pretty sure that she worked for the New York Housing Authority in some position that she had during the years when she was still able to work.
I remember hearing an interview recently. You had interviewed someone, and you had indicated how you had lost your mother, because the person you had interviewed had lost their mother when they were young. Mm-hmm. And so now I found out what had happened.
Right, yes. And she lived really much longer than they thought that she would, you know, which was a good thing for me.
So I'll take this opportunity to congratulate you on either approaching 26 years or having met 26 years of being cancer-free.
Actually, no. I did have cancer myself, that's true, when I was about in my early 30s, so about 30, 31, and I had colon cancer, and I had the surgery. I was fortunate to catch it early enough, and that was back in 1988. But then I did have a reoccurrence in 2009. And again, caught early enough that I had the surgery, and so now I'm fine. So it's been, 5 years now?
Excellent, excellent. Like
start on wood.
Indeed, indeed. Congratulations, and definitely in order.
Blue skies smiling at me, nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue birds singing a song, nothing but blue birds all day long. Never saw the sun shining so bright, never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by, when you're in love, my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone, nothing but blue skies, from now on. Smiling at me, nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue birds singing a song, nothing but blue birds all
so bright. Never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, my, my, how they fly. Today, all of them down. There's nothing but blue skies from now on.
Now, I understand that there was music around your house. There was Dinah, Duke, and the Count.
That's right. That's right. My parents, and I would have to say my father in particular was a jazz fan. And so he always played records. I would wake up in the morning and I'd hear, you know, Dinah Washington playing or Duke Ellington or Count Basie. And having grown up, both my parents were born in New York, you know, raised in Harlem. So they knew a lot of these people.
Yeah, your father played poker with someone.
Calloway. Yeah. Yeah. Cab Calloway was one of his buddies. They used to play poker together. So it was fun. And my mom's cousin, you probably know this too because you know so much, my cousin really, but my mother's first cousin, Teddy Taylor, is married to Billy Taylor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, Sugar Mubbles, name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones. What you're listening to right now is Picture This by Billy Taylor from a release called It's a Matter of Pride. Billy Taylor is the composer, pianist, and producer of this release. Christian McBride's on bass, Marvin Smitty Smith is on drums, and Ray Mantilla is on congas. Let's see. This is a 1993 GRP Records release. Before that, we heard Blue Skies from the great Dinah Washington, a favorite of Rhonda Hamilton. That's Dinah Washington on vocals. This is from After Hours with Miss D. After Hours with Miss D. Clark Terry on trumpet, Rick Henderson on alto saxophone, Eddie Lockjaw Davis on tenor saxophone, Junior Mance on piano, Keeter Betts on bass, and Max Roach on drums. This is a DeMarcy 1954 release. And before that, we heard Take the Coltrane, Duke Ellington and John Coltrane, which is also the name of the release, Duke Ellington and John Coltrane. John Coltrane on soprano and tenor saxophone. Duke Ellington on piano, of course. Jimmy Garrison on bass and Elvin Jones on drums. 1962 Impulse Records release. Before that, we heard The Swingers Jump from Duke Ellington Orbit, Blues in Orbit, a 1959 Columbia Records release. Before that, we heard Four Women by Nina Simone, and that's pretty much to introduce everyone to Four Women this month for the four Sundays, if we don't get preempted or something, because you haven't called 212-209-2950 and pledged your support. We're going to introduce you to four different women in four different areas of the music and arts and culture. And we're starting with Rhonda Hamilton, the radio announcer on here, host and programmer at WBGO down the dial. And next week we're going to feature Catherine Russell. Yeah. vocalist and mandolin player and daughter of Carlene Ray and, see, everyone remembers the father, Louis Russell, or Luis Russell. So, yeah, before that, oh, yes, Nina Simone, Four Women from Let It All Out, vocal and piano, Nina Simone, Rudy Stevenson on guitar, Bobby Hamilton on drums, Lyle Atkinson on bass. This is a 1965 Philips Records release. And before that, our theme, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl, Nina Simone, from the very best of Nina Simone, Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. The recording was originally released in 1967. Stay tuned for more.
I grew up with a lot of the music around me, but it wasn't until years later that I started really to take it seriously and pay attention, you know, and try to study.
By the time you were either 13 or 14, you stumbled, you know, channel surfing on the radio, and that's how you discovered your own personal love of the music.
Yeah, well, I used to listen to, and it's funny, I guess it was L.I.B., that's right. Okay, see, the memory, gee whiz. And they used to sign off like at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. But I would come home from school, and I would turn on the radio, and I'd do my homework, and I'd leave it on. They were playing the music. Yeah, back then, it was great. And again, it was just one of those things. I remember going up and down the dial trying to find the sound that I wanted to hear, and when I found it, that was the station I stopped on.
Yeah, that is actually, that's how I found WBGO. Mm-hmm. Just surfing the dial. And so that also takes me to the difference between listening to music on the radio in the past as opposed to today. What do you notice the difference or the role of this music now with regard to new media and everything else that changes? With the changes in how people listen to music these days, do you think that it would be difficult to find music?
Well, not in this market, thankfully, because WBGO is here. But in other markets, it's certainly a challenge. And I guess that's the role that satellite radio is kind of taking up some of that. Because I did used to work at Sirius Satellite Radio for a while. And then when XM, when they merged, I continued for another year or so. So we used to hear from people all over the country who were thrilled to be able to hear jazz on the radio. But still, even with satellite radio, it's becoming more and more of a challenge for people to find this music. And that's, it's such a shame because it is a great music. And I think there's a myth out there that people don't like jazz. And there's still a lot of just misrepresentation, and people have a certain concept about the music that they think that they don't like it or they won't like it, when I think that that's not true at all. You know, I think a lot of people love this music, and they enjoy it when they hear it and might not even realize that what they're listening to is jazz.
Love evermore. Think couple Siamese twins, some Argentines without means do it. People say in Boston even bees do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. The nightingales in the dark do it. Locks crazy for a lock do it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Gave you a break. I let you listen to a big portion of the program without interruption. But nothing's happening, so I know you're probably watching the Oscars. And if you're not watching the Oscars, or you may be watching the Oscars and listening to this in the background or whatever, well, you need to call 212-209-2950. I'm talking over Red Clay. Freddie Hubbard's Red Clay. CTI Records, 70 release. Have Joe Henderson on saxophone, Lenny White on drums, Ron Carter on bass. Freddie Hubbard's excellent solo happening right now on trumpet. Herbie Hancock on piano. And, this is the title cut, Red Clay. And I'm using this time to ask you for your support because it's a lengthy tune. And you need to call 212-209-2950 to show your support. I wanted to just present a program. That's why I sent in a note to people who may be listening. This would be the time for you to call and show your support. If you're enjoying the program, if you've enjoyed past programs, you have to call and show your support right now during this program. Because we could have been preempted. I'm just going to tell you straight out. We could have been preempted because there is a plan to do something else in our stead. Because somehow, you know, it's considered, they don't know what they're doing. You know, people don't really listen to that show because they don't call to support. And that's what they look at. You know, it's like, okay, somebody might be listening, but they don't support. So they're going to put on something that people will support. And so you need to call 212-209-2950, or you need to go to give2wbai.org for a pledge of $25. You can be a member of this listener-supported experiment. You have to support listeners. Support. And, you know, WBAI has been asking for a while. This drive has been going for a while because we need your help. We do. And that's just the way it is. And you need to put your wallet in your pocketbook where your mouth is. You know, people are constantly coming up to me and telling me, like, I enjoyed that show. Now, if those people just pledged $25 right now, then you can listen in comfort. And I would, I'm not going to be snippy if you don't, but, you'll enjoy it better if you do, because you'll be listening as a contributing member as opposed to just somebody just listening and, you know, mooching. That's right. Don't be a moocher. Yeah, no, we haven't played any Cab Calloway, but yeah, you're behaving like a moocher. You know, the music that I'm selecting is generally music that Rhonda Hamilton plays. Or she plays the artist. And so that's the connection between the music and Rhonda Hamilton. And she tends to play Freddie Hubbard, if not every day. A lot of good chunk of the week, she plays at least one selection by Freddie Hubbard. And we'll be talking about that later. But you need to be calling 212-209-2950. There are people there, I am told, that will actually receive your call and take your pledge. And, yeah, there are, definitely, because in the past, I have actually seen pledges. It shows, you know, we can see them here. We know that they're happening. And so we need to hear from you. You need to go to give to the number 2, WBAI.org. After Red Clay, we'll be hearing from the bandstand with our associate producer, Hank Williams. Let's see, before we heard Red Clay, we heard... what did we hear? No, we didn't hear that. We heard Let's Do It. Let's Do It by Renee Marie from I Wanna Be Evil with Love to Eartha Kitt. Renee Marie on vocals, Kevin Bales on piano, Elias Bailey on bass, Quentin Baxter on drums, and guest, special guest, Wycliffe Gordon on trombone. This is a 2013 Motema Records release, Renee Marie being a former Sugar guest. And we presented this during the Eartha Kitt program with Eartha Kitt's daughter, Kit. Yeah. So, yeah. Before that, we heard Return to Paradise, Shirley Horn. Isn't that a beautiful song? Goodness, that's such a beautiful song. I love that song. It's from Here's to Life, which is also a beautiful song, and she does a very beautiful rendition of it. Shirley Horn on vocals and piano, Charles Abels on bass, Steve Williams on drums, Johnny Mandel was the producer and arranger. It's a 1992 Verve Records release. Before that, we heard Blue Sky... Oh, no, Picture This. That's what it was. Picture This by Billy Taylor. It's a Matter of Pride was the name of the release. Billy Taylor, I've mentioned this before, and this I'll stop there. Billy Taylor is the composer, pianist, and producer on this release. Christian McBride on bass, Marvin Smitty Smith on drums, Ray Mantilla on congas, and it's a 1993 GRP Records release. We got to hear from you. It's too quiet. Too quiet. And it's 212-209-2950. That is the number that you call for your support. Give your generous support to this listener-supported experiment, and the experiment can be a success. And because I'm certain that there are things on this station that you still listen to and that you like. And if you're listening right now, you must like Sugar in My Bowl. So it would be nice for you to show your support for Sugar in My Bowl by exhibiting your passion in a financial way. 212-209-2950 or give to the number 2, WBAI.org. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. And listen to the closing moments of Red Clay while we get ready to hear from the bandstand. Look there. There's Ron Carter. No, you should not be allowed to listen to enjoy this. You know why? Because you've not pledged your support. Well, I'm hoping that you already have a copy in your home. But 212-209-2950, that's the number that you need to call to show your support. For this music in this area, in New York, come on. The place that plays, you know, this is the capital of the world of this music, and the place that plays more of it is in New Jersey, at WBGO. Yes, but that's okay. You know, we try to do our part here at WBAI, because somebody has got to do a little bit of something somewhere. We do our part on Sunday nights, and Dwight Brewster's on Tuesday with the World of Jazz, and that's WBAI's contribution to this music. But we need to see that you appreciate it by calling 212-209-2950 or going to give, www.give2wbai.org. Stay tuned for more Rhonda Hamilton Carvin and more music. And a little more pitching.
Tuned to WBAI, the station that tells our story and tells it like it is. This is Mabel Williams, widow of Robert F. Williams, Negroes with Guns, and you're listening to WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM.
And I mean every word of it.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for March 2nd. In this segment of the show, we bring you area listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can experience them live. And this week, we have several events as we dig out from what's hopefully the last late winter snow. Organist Akiko Tsuruga continues her regular Monday night gig at Manhattan's Kotobuki Restaurant. And you can catch her there March 3rd and March 10th. Details are at the restaurant's website, which is kotobukinewyork.com, and I'll give that to you one more time slowly. That's kotobukinewyork.com. Pianist Barry Harris leads a trio at the Village Vanguard from March 4th through the 9th. Go to villagevanguard.com for details on those shows. Meanwhile, over at the Blue Note, drummer Billy Cobham appears in a trio from March 4th through the 9th also. See BlueNote.net for more info on those shows. Bassist Alex Blake is at the Cornelia Street Cafe with the Creston Osgood Quartet on March 6th. Go to CorneliaStreetCafe.com for details. Again, that's CorneliaStreetCafe.com. Saxophonist Tia Fuller leads a quartet at Smoke on the 7th and 8th. You can find information on that at smokejazz.com. Looking much further ahead, guitarist Pat Metheny's Unity Band has three area shows at the end of March to support their new album titled Kin. You can catch them in Red Bank, New Jersey at the Count Basie Theater on March 23rd, in Fairfield, Connecticut at Fairfield University's Quick Center for the Arts on the 25th, and in New York at the Town Hall Theater on the 28th. And I'll point you to Pat's website, which has links for all of the shows, at patmetheny.com and click on the link for a schedule. That's patmetheny.com. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, you can see the listings at the Sugar in My Bowl blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog. Tonight's playlist and audio from this and previous shows are on their website as well. Remember that WBAI is still in serious financial trouble. Please help us stay on the air in this extended fund drive by pledging whatever you can at give2 WBAI.org, where you can consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. This is Hank Williams signing off. We'll see you next week, March 9th, on the Bandstand.
Thank you, Hank Williams. And as he mentioned, we'll be back next week, March 9th, with more listings and with Catherine Russell. Stay tuned. Oh, yeah, 212-209-2950 and WBAI.org.
Give. Well, I've always been listening to it because my father brought it into the house as well. You know, he had Blue Note Records and Columbia, and, you know, it was more like a label household, a Capitol, you know, because Nancy Wilson is on Capitol, as a matter of fact. So there was music around, and the radio played more of it. There were more stations that were playing a mix of music as well.
Yeah, well, that's true. The music wasn't so segregated then. And then also there was that era when I was coming up, like going to school, like in the 70s and the 80s, where the college radio stations played a lot of jazz, but we weren't that confined. You know, there was a great mix of music at that time, and everybody loved it. I mean, I think that was something that was particularly going on in the 70s, and maybe back in the 60s, I don't know, where people were open. There weren't these categories that were so strict. So you could listen to a jazz station, but you'd also hear Earth, Wind, and Fire, or you could also hear Stevie Wonder, or, you know, a whole lot of other people mixed in with the music.
And the people who were playing the music were mixing those styles with the music as well.
Exactly. They were good musicians, school musicians, musicians who could play jazz, who could improvise. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Do me wrong. Do me right. Tell me lies, but don't let me be lonely tonight. Say goodbye. Then I say hello, hello, baby. Sure enough, good to see you. Oh, but it's time to go. Goodbye.
let me be
I'm not going to continue talking over Basie, so. But I wanted to let you know that I do feel lonely tonight. I need you to call 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Or you could go to give2wbai.org. give2wbai.org. Thank you.
You know, a lot of that has changed, but I think it's starting now to come back, the very, very beginnings of it. But
now, you mentioned satellite radio. How do you think that affects being on public radio? You know, I'm on community-sponsored radio where the listeners have to support the institution. How do you think that affects this existence of satellite?
You know, I used to think that maybe there would be a conflict, but I don't think there is, because the thing about satellite radio is that you have to be very, very broad in your approach, because you're broadcasting to the entire country. Whereas I always think that public radio stations and so-called local radio stations will have a role because we have to stay in tune with what's happening in our community. So people here in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area are going to listen to BAI. They're going to listen to WBGO and get from us what they can't get in satellite radio. But there's great things about satellite radio, too, because you can at least hear, you know, a wide variety of programming, and you can hear jazz no matter where you are, even if you're, you know, somewhere really isolated in a rural area in the middle of the country. You can still have the opportunity to hear jazz.
So once you finished high school, you attended Boston University to study broadcasting, right?
Yes, I was at the School of Public Communications then. It was SPC. I think it has a different name now, the College of Communication, I guess. But, yeah, I was studying broadcasting and film. And I did do a little bit of the film program, but I didn't continue beyond the first year or so because you had to buy all of your own equipment, which was expensive. And so I kind of switched my direction. And I, for a while, I thought I might want to go into television production or directing. But how I got involved in radio was through an internship, because everybody had to take some kind of an internship. And I got one at WBCN, which at that time was like a progressive rock station in Boston. And there was a guy on the air there, Eric Jackson, who you might know Eric, because he's been on the air for years in Boston and has done a show at WGBH. But he worked at BCN at the time, and he used to do a late night show. And it was one of those shows that I talked about before where he really played a wide variety of music. I loved his show. And after working in the news department at BCN, it was at Eric's wedding that I met another guy named Charlie Perkins.
Yes, who was at WBUR.
Right. He was at WBUR, and he was saying that we were looking for people to do a weekend jazz show. And did I know anything about the music? And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. I know about the music. But anyway, I gave him an audition tape, and I did get hired to do a Saturday and Sunday morning show from, it was 6 to 10 a.m.
Oh, okay.
So that was my first jazz radio show. And that was a period where I learned a lot. BUR at that time was considered the jazz station for the New England area. We had a powerful signal. And so they had a great library, still albums then, of course. But it was a wonderful opportunity to learn a lot about the music and listen to so much music. And I read a lot of books and got a chance to meet a lot of people. And so that was a wonderful period. And I did that for my senior year. And after I graduated, I kept on working there. I started working and doing an evening show. But I did want to come back to New York. I didn't want to stay in Boston. And that's when I kind of heard through the grapevine about WBGO starting.
Holding hands at midnight, neath the starry sky. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Strolling with the one more, side side to side. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Just imagine someone waiting at the cottage door, where two hearts become one. Who could ask for anything more? Loving one who loves you and then taking that vow. Nice work if you can get it. And if you get it, won't you tell me how? Thank you. That's work if you can get it. You can get it if you try. Strolling with the one boy and side, side, side. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Just imagine someone waiting at the cottage door, where two hearts become one. Who could ask for anything more? Loving one who loves you and then taking that vow. Nice work if you can get it, and if you get it, won't you tell me? Please, please tell me. Won't you tell me how?
Now, before we come back to WBGO in Newark, tell me about Sarah Ann Shaw.
Yes, okay, you know, it's been so long. That's right, I did do a TV show, very briefly, reviewing albums on a show called Mazzizi Roots at WBZ.
And it was originally titled Talking Black?
And I didn't get a chance to come on that often because it was one of those shows where if they had a segment or an interview that went on, a lot of times the interview or the album review would be cut up. You know, there wasn't time for it. But I do remember doing that. Yes, yes. Mazzizi Roots. That's almost 40 years ago.
Oh, that's what you went to school for.
That's right, exactly. I did do that. That's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a great period back then. You know, I mean, because there was a lot going on television and on radio. And so there were a lot of people who were doing some wonderful things back then. I was nervous, you know, having to do that, be in front of the camera. But it was a fun thing.
Now, you also, when you were in Boston and mm-hmm. you went to school, you went to the Actors Studio
yes.
in Boston.
Yes, I did, yeah. Well, that was always an interest of mine. So finally I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to study acting. And I did. And then it was like several months after that that I got the job here at WBGO. And that's what kind of cut that off. But if I had stayed in Boston, I probably would have pursued that more.
Well,
I never got back into doing it seriously in terms of studying acting, no.
Well, I understand you also do voiceovers from time to time.
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, I enjoy doing that. And that's kind of an outlet to explore that kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. And
you,
I hope later on in my career to devote more time to it, because it's a challenge to work full time, especially when I was working here and doing Sirius. I just didn't have the time, and I kind of fell out of doing it on a regular basis, and now I'm working towards building that up again.
I understand also that while you're at WBGO and when you were doing Sirius, you lost an opportunity to cook and and read books, which is apparently your pastime or something you'd like to do when you have time.
That's right. Yeah, I do. And I love to read books. You're absolutely right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I do. See, I'm usually on the other side
of it.
I know.
It's a
different thing. But, yeah, I do like to cook. So, you know, now I try to do it every once in a while. I'm trying to, you know, cook to be healthier, you know, make my own things, you know. I can't say I'm a gourmet by any stretch of the imagination, but I do enjoy it. I like eating probably more than I like cooking.
Yes, I read that you like a good steak.
Uh-huh. Well, no, that I don't even eat steak that much anymore, but I'd like to know where you're getting this information from.
Times have changed.
Yes, but I like everything, really. Although I don't eat steak much anymore, but I like everything. The only thing I don't like is bananas. My husband loves bananas. He eats them all the time, but I'm not a banana person, though. So I'm just saying that just for general information. Don't send me any, like, banana bread or a banana cake.
Like, don't force her to eat it.
The only thing I won't eat.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. You've been beautiful. And we'd like to do some songs of the great Duke of Ellington. And also from our new album with Joe and Ella called Speak Love. Available.
I never get much for moonlit skies. I never be back at fireflies. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. I never went in for afterglow. the candlelight on the mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. Used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and caused a spark that's a four-alarm fire now. I never made love by lantern shine. I never saw rainbows in my wine. But now that your lips are burning mine, I saw the light. Play pretty, Joe.
Joined WBGO in 1979. How did that happen?
Well, like I said, I kind of heard through the grapevine that there was a station that was starting somewhere in New York or New Jersey, and they were playing jazz and they were public radio. And I said, well, this sounds interesting. This sounds perfect. And it took me a while to get the name. I finally got the name Al Pryor. He was the original program director here. And I sent in a tape. And I believe I was late for the deadline. But I knew, sometimes you know some things, and I said, this job is mine. And sure enough, they called me and hired me. And I left, you know, very, very quickly. I left WBUR, you know, I think the next week. I took a week's vacation. I went away. And then I came back and started working here the second week in March, 1979.
Mm-hmm. And it's been 35 years, almost 35 years now.
Yes, 35 years. It will be next month, 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. See, that's why I can't remember all these things.
Now, you're being at WBG, and this is actually a question from my partner, Hank, and I'm curious, too, because I found out, after he wanted to know this, how you program, is that you base your first song off of what Gary Walker plays?
A lot of times, that's the beginning, because I don't program my whole show in advance, and the times that I've done that, it ends up being a waste of time because I usually change my mind. And so usually I'll pick up, it'll give me an idea, whatever the last song Gary plays, a lot of times will give me an idea of how to begin. And we do have certain guidelines that we use here at WBGO. It's recently changed. We have a new clock, which I think everybody is very, very happy with. So
what does that mean?
So it means that in each slot we're playing a particular kind of music. Like we'll start off with something that's classic, usually something that's well known, like Giant Steps by John Coltrane. And then we will play a classic vocalist like Ella Fitzgerald or Sarah Vaughan or Dinah Washington. Then we'll play a Latin track or a world music track, you know, and then something that we call a recurrent, something that is not brand new. It could be older, but, you know, it could be a recent album that was new, maybe last year. You have your choice there. And then we'll play something new, and then we'll play another classic artist, somebody really well known in the jazz world, like Horace Silver, Art Blakey, and then we'll play something new, and then we can play a vocal again, which could be a new vocal, or it could be an older vocalist, like, I don't know, Louis Armstrong or Billie Holiday or somebody like that, and then we'll play an older song, you know, something more to the swing era or from bebop back. Mm. Yeah, and that's our current clock.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much set how, I mean, you have an idea of what range you can work in.
Right, right. But I think it's good because it gives us a consistency of sound, and I think what we have right now really allows us to cover a wide range of music, you know. So no matter who's on the air, even if it's a fill-in person, you're going to still hear that mix. And I think that is important. That's what most people in the audience tell us that they want to hear, this kind of mix of music. You know, a little bit of the old and some of the new and, you know, a little bit of the Latin. And not too much of one thing, you know.
Now, I notice a person that you play almost every day, if not every day, Freddie Hubbard.
I do play a lot of Freddie Hubbard. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there aren't a lot of really, well, I don't know if I play, I didn't play Freddie Hubbard today. Yeah. That's interesting. I didn't play Freddie Hubbard today. I didn't play Lee Morgan today. I play a lot of Lee Morgan, you know. But there's not a lot of really good trumpet players, you know. And a lot of times, I think, like you mentioned, your dad had a lot of Blue Note records. I think that period of Blue Note of the 1960s in particular was a very strong period for the music. A lot of classic recordings were done during that time period. A lot of great musicians who played with a certain amount of passion and fire. And so a lot of times you can't go wrong if you play some of that music. Also, I used to see Freddie Hubbard a lot. When I came up in my college days, he used to tour a lot, and I saw him quite often. So I do.
Uh-huh. I suspect you also got to meet him.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were just going through some old pictures we had during our fundraiser, Throwback Thursday. And we went through some old pictures, and I came across a picture of me with Freddie Hubbard. And it must have been taken, like, around 1980 or something like that. I could tell from the jewelry I was wearing.
Right. 212-209-2950. Give the number to WBAI.org. So what we're listening to right now is Hubcap talking over Freddie Hubbard solo. The title cut, Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, Julian Priester on trombone, Jimmy Heath on tenor saxophone, Cedar Walton on piano, Larry Ridley on bass, Philly Joe Jones on drums. This is a 1961 Blue Note Records release. Before that, we heard I'm Beginning to See the Light from Ella Fitzgerald and Joe Pass. Sophisticated Lady is the name of this release. It is, it's originally a Fantasy Records release recorded in 1983. This is a 2001 Pablo Records reissue. Before that, we heard Basie Meets Bond. The James Bond theme from Basie Meets Bond, Count Basie Orchestra featuring Eddie Lockjaw Davis, 1965 Capitol Records release. Before that, we heard Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight, Nancy Wilson from Come Get to This. And that's originally a 1975 Capitol Records release. This is a 2011 SoulMusic.com Records reissue. Thank you, David Nathan, because I've been looking for, I had it on vinyl. I actually purchased it not too long ago on vinyl, but I need
needed the CD. And it's a good thing that David Nathan's soulmusic.com made it available. Thank you, thank you. So stay tuned for more Sugar Mabul and Rhonda Hamilton Carvin. You know what you need to do. We've already talked about this. I'm just going to tell you one more time. Call 212-209-2950 until I tell you again. Or give to the number 2, WBAI.org. 212-209-2950. Give the number 2, WBAI.org. Your husband.
Michael, yes. Michael Carvin worked with Freddie Hubbard. I didn't know him back then. But he worked with Doug and Gene Carr, and I used to see them a lot. How did I meet Michael? Is that the question? Did you ask him this question?
No.
Okay. No, but the thing is that to tell you the truth, I don't remember how I met Michael, because he's somebody that I knew just being in the jazz community for many years before we started seeing each other. So it didn't stand out to me, okay, I met him on this date. So it wasn't something like that. I knew him long before we started going out together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I can't, a lot of people ask me that question. How'd you meet him? I don't know. He was just always there. Mm-hmm.
No, I read somewhere that you, since you play music all day,
yeah,
every day, from Monday to Friday,
yeah,
you have your shift,
mm-hmm,
and Michael plays drums, he plays music all the time,
mm-hmm,
that when you're at home, you like quiet.
Yeah, we don't listen to a lot of music at home, very rarely, you know, very rarely. If I'm by myself, I might do it sometimes, but most of it, especially, I think during those years when I was working here and working at Sirius, I did that for 8 years, that it just, I got burnt out. And it's not that I don't enjoy the music anymore, but you know, you're around it all the time and you're talking. And when I came home, I didn't even want to talk. You know what it's like being on the radio for, and I was doing it, you know, more than 8 hours a day, because it's serious. The music is pre-programmed. So all you're doing is dropping in whatever it is you're going to say. And the shows are 6 hours long. And so, you know, I would do maybe 2 shows at a time. So that's a lot.
Yes.
It's a lot of radio. It's a lot of talking. And I'd get home like really late at night, and then I knew I had to get up the next day and do it again. So no, I don't listen to a lot of music at home. I listen sometimes when I'm in the car, but I'll listen also to, you know, talk or news when I'm in the car.
You know, we watch, you know, watch TV or something like that. We watch a lot of golf. I'm sure Michael.
Yes, the golf, yes. Well, I read in preparing to talk to you, I found out that your father introduced you and Michael to golf.
Yes, that's right. That's right. He did. Michael, one of his friends gave him some golf clubs. And this was during the summertime, and my dad always played golf. And I had never, my favorite thing as a kid was to play miniature golf, but it never occurred to me to play the regular game. And then one day, my dad said, well, let's go to the, you know, driving range. And so I went with Michael and my father. I had some clubs. I don't know where, somebody gave me some clubs. And I think these must have been the clubs that were given to me. I don't know if I had them already. But Teramasahino, the Japanese trumpet player, he plays a lot of golf, and his wife gave me a set of clubs. But anyway, I went to the driving range, and we did this several times. And then one day my dad said, well, let's actually go play. And this was out on Long Island at a little golf course. It was so small. It was just 9 holes. And back then, they didn't even have grass on the putting greens. It was sand. And you had to, they had like a tool that was like a rake, but it was round on the end like a rolling pin. And when your ball landed on the so-called green, you would have to, like, make a little path to putt it to get into the hole. This was Sag Harbor Golf Course many, many years ago. And so that's how I learned how to play. I remember the first hole, it took me, I think, 11 shots to get to the green, but I finally did it. And then after a while, I hit the ball, and it went up in the air, and it went straight, and I said, then I started to get it. And, you know, it's been an obsession ever since to try to play this game. Yeah. And master it and do it right.
Wow.
But I like it because it's so much in your head. And that's the challenge for me. I've always been like, I don't want to say a cerebral person, but if anything's, I like a challenge, and I'm very competitive. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I like golf, because you're not necessarily competing against somebody else, but you're competing against yourself, and you're trying to get better. So it's fun. I like it.
Yeah, you definitely have the right partner in Michael Carmen, because both of you sound like two of a kind in that regard.
Yeah, well, that's true. And we're very lucky in that regard, because it's difficult to be in a partnership or a marriage where one person is into golf and the other isn't, because it's so time consuming. You know, you're going to say, I'm going to, you know, be away all day, you know. I mean, it takes you 4 or 5 hours to play, and then, you know, you're gone for long periods of time. And so for us, it's a great thing. And so we have the shared interest in that, and, of course, in the music. So it makes it very easy.
Well, I was actually referring to the challenging yourself aspect.
Yes, that too. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the persons that you met, like Lee Morgan, Freddie Hubbard, Sarah Vaughan, Dinah Washington, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, are these people that you like, or they're just people that you know about and they're your go-to folks?
Oh, I like them, but also I think everybody likes them, and I think that they're representative of the best of the music. So there are certain people that you're going to hear, not only on my show, but I think on BGO in general, that you're going to hear every day. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's important, especially here in New Jersey. I do play a lot of Count Basie. I didn't play Count Basie today, but I play Count Basie almost every day. And a lot of this has to do with the response of the audience and the feedback that I've gotten from people over the years. And I'm not going to say that I like everything that I play on the radio, but I'm very conscious of trying to do a mix of the music and trying to also respond to what listeners are telling me that they want to hear, and also some of what people should hear and some of what is going on today in the music. So it's always that balancing act. I like everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I like all those people that you mentioned, you know. I love Sarah. I love Carmen McRae. I love a lot of the singers. I love Dinah Washington. And it's funny, as you mature, I remember, like I said, my father used to play Dinah Washington. I used to, and when I was a little girl, I didn't particularly like Dinah Washington. But now I'm mad about Dinah, you know. And it's the same thing with Billie Holiday. When I first heard Billie Holiday, I was like, this is somebody that's supposed to be. But you learn to appreciate what it is that they do. As you get older, as you get mature, you appreciate their art and what they're saying in the music. And to me, that's the most important thing. I'll say I like anybody who is telling a story in the music, whether they're singing or whether they're an instrumentalist, if they're telling a story, if they're bringing some emotion and feeling to the music, if they move me, that's what I like, anybody like that. And there's so many that I can't single out one person. But that's what I look for in the music, whether I'm going to hear it live or whether I'm listening on a record. I think that's the role of an artist, in no matter what it is that they do, is that they move you in some way. They strike up some kind of emotion, or they make you think about something. And that's what I think is the essence of jazz in many ways. You're making people move. You're touching them in their soul, you know. And that's what first attracted me to the music, was that, you know.
One last question. Any artists currently that sort of resonate for you who are on the scene?
Well, you know, I got to say, I'm going to be prejudiced. My husband, Michael, he is, I think that he has, and I'm not saying this just because he's my husband, but I do believe that he's got the greatest band that's playing jazz out there now. He is a great teacher, and many of his students are among the most successful and in-demand drummers on the scene today. He's got a band of young musicians that he's been working with for a while. And every time I hear them, they get better. And they still have a ways that they can go, but they're reaching for something. And he brings something out of them so that as a unit, I think that the music is very exciting. And every time I hear, last time I heard them play, it was awesome. And I think the audience felt that way. This was up at Mohonk Mountain House. It was fantastic. And so I'm excited for him. I'm excited for this band. I'm excited for the young people that he has in the band. They've got a new record that they recorded a while ago, and the release date has been pushed back, but when it comes out, it'll be the right time. And so I think good things are happening. And I think once you hear this band, if you haven't heard them perform yet, you'll agree, if you love jazz, that this band is extraordinary. Michael is a great drummer, and he knows how to enhance the music through what he does. And that's one thing that I've learned listening to him and being married to him, but also listening to him, that in a band, it's really the drummer who controls the music and can take it from one level to another depending on what they do, you know. So,
well, thank you, Rhonda Hamilton, for allowing me to share the space at WBGO and chat with you, and for you to give us this time.
Well, thank you, Joyce. I'm so impressed with your research. I got to find out where you got all this information about me, but it was a real pleasure. I loved it. Thank you.
just to let you know, what you're listening to right now is Michael Carvin. Michael Carvin's on drums. And, wait a minute, what do I have there? Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah, Michael Carvin's on drums. This is Lost and Found Project 2065. Dr. Too Much is the name of this song. And when I talked to Michael Carvin, when he was our sugar guest, Dr. Too Much was Frank... Oh, what's Frank's name? My goodness, I'm drawing a blank. They were on the Vietnam Project together. You know, see, I shouldn't have even said anything. But with Michael Carvin on this recording is Antoine Roney on tenor saxophone, bass clarinet. There's that bass clarinet. Jansen Cinco is on bass. Now, Jansen Cinco is still with Michael Carvin. They have a keyboardist now. Akiko? Not Akiko. But I can't think of her name, but she's really good. And Michael Carvin had mentioned her when he was our guest. So you can go to sugarinmybowl.org, check the archives, and hear the Michael Carvin program for that information. And before this, we heard... What do we hear? Oh, yeah, I told you what we heard. But what we're going to hear after this is Lee Morgan's. We're going to go out with Lee Morgan. Just a little bit of Lee Morgan. And from The Sixth Sense, Lee Bop is the name of the song. Lee Morgan on trumpet. Frank Mitchell on tenor saxophone. Harold Mayburn, who has a new release, on piano. Mickey Bass on bass. Billy Higgins on drums. And that's... 1968 Blue Note Records release. It wasn't on the original release. Actually, it was recorded in 1968. It's on a reissue of The Sixth Sense 2004 reissue. Stay tuned for La Nueva Alternativa coming up next.
This is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.